We welcome you to this worship service of Calvary Lutheran Church for August 30th, 2020, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. This is the last Sunday to support Calvary's August Mission of the Month, Opportunity International. For all other announcements and prayer requests, see your connections email. We begin our worship.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please now take a few moments for silent reflection. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Invocation of the same, the three in one.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, strengthen us to follow your commands in humble obedience along life's journey. Show us the way of sacrificial love for the sake of your world as we lose our old lives and find true life in Christ. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 15. Lord, you understand. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending, and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and deliver you from the grasp of the cruel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray Psalm 26 responsively. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered.
Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind.
For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness.
I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites.
I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked.
I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord,
proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds.
Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells.
Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty.
In whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes.
I lead a blameless life. Deliver me and be merciful to me.
My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, boys and girls. This is Miss Angie. It's good to be back. So, it is back to school time again. Some of you are probably feeling excited, and some of you may be a little sad that summer is over. You might be feeling a little nervous or scared about going back to school because of all the new things and new rules that we're going to have to deal with. You may have new teachers, some new friends, some new routines, and you may even be going to a new school. Or you may be having school at home. On the first day of school, the teacher is probably going to ask some questions to see how much you already know. When the teacher asks questions, which you know the answer, you might want to wave your hand excitedly in the air and say, "I know, I know!" It's a great feeling when you know the answer, isn't it? It sure helps beat away those back-to-school jitters. In a few of the Bible verses just before our gospel lesson today, the disciples are going back to school. Can you guess who their teacher is? Yup, it's Jesus. Jesus often took his disciples aside to teach them important lessons about the kingdom of God, and this was one of those days. Jesus began his lesson that day by asking his disciples a question. He asked them, "Who do people think that I am?" I imagine that one of the disciples raised his hands and said, I know, some people think that you are John the Baptist." Another disciple probably raised his hand and said, I know, some of you people think you are Elijah." And a third disciple raised his hand and said, "I know, some people say that you are Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." "Very good," Jesus said, "that is what other people are saying, but who do you think that I am?" You know, I think that Peter was so excited he forgot to raise his hand, and I think he just called out and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Yes, you're right, Peter. You didn't learn that from listening to other people. It was taught to you by my Father in heaven." Now this lesson, the lesson that the disciples learned that day was really important back then, and it's really important today too. Many people in our world today still do not know who Jesus is. You and I need to be ready with our answers, so when we are asked the question, we can answer. He is Christ, the Son of the living God. Now it's time for a Pray After Angie prayer. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. When people are searching for the answer to important question, who is Jesus? Help us to be ready with our answer. Help me remember that you are with me at school, at home, and everywhere. In your name, we pray and play. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the past week, and I'm sure quite a bit over the next 9, you will be, if you care to, speeched by people vying for elected office, particularly by the candidates who want to move into or extend their stay in the White House. These speeches will have been crafted and pored over by legions of pollsters, marketing experts, and political consultants. Yet by giving them, President Trump and former Vice President Biden will each lend their name and character to what you hear. Both candidates will articulate positions on issues ranging from the coronavirus pandemic, what else, the simmering emotions over the criminal justice system, our culture's impact on and responsibility for the environment, healthcare in general, and now renewed emphasis on public health so next time we're ready. Along the way, speeches will sprinkle in references to trade agreements, abortion, education, immigration, energy policy. The Bible has perspectives on all this, though I dare say it's not going to hand a candidate for office a talking point on it. In our Lutheran tradition, we believe God rules, as though with the left hand, by providing for and protecting the citizens of nations, and, as with the right hand, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther, who coined these phrases, even goes on so far as to include good government in his list of what is included in our daily bread. Yet by design or urgency, it seems candidates' speeches these days are less about their policies and proposals and more about them. Speeches seem to be about two subjects, me and I. And if that is diverted from, it is simply to plunge into some "why you ought to be glad that I'm not like him or her" outburst. Well, the Bible has precedent for that too, exhibited, a better word might be paraded, in a couple of our Old Testament lessons today. Prophets were speechmakers, and they could be a bit long-winded. Jeremiah in particular had accumulated a lot of pent-up anger for the way folks ignored what he had to say. So in our lesson today, he pleads his own cause in a speech of sorts to God, and like a politician, doesn't miss an opportunity to beat his own drum a bit. He said, "Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake." Then he said, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight." As opposed, one might presume, to his enemies who dismissed God's words. He said, "I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them." And he caps it off by saying, "Why is my pain unending?" The Psalms include a few examples of speeches too, and while Jeremiah is never credited with writing any of them, Psalm 26 sure sounds like it could have come from him. Listen to what the psalmist says about himself for just a minute. He said, "I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in you without wavering. I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites." Boy, if that isn't a modern politician or consultant laying out a strategy that they are not like all the other politicians who is going to go drain the swamp and fight for what is right, well, then I don't know what is. Can you imagine the 30-second spots of feel-good flattery a pollster could whip up with a candidate who says something like, "I wash my hands in innocence and my feet stand on level ground"? Applied to faith, if Jeremiah 15 and Psalm 26 be our guide, their message would urge us to be that guy or gal who trains every impulse to be pure and every result just and true. But then there is the speech Jesus gave in our gospel today, and it couldn't offer more of a contrast. Peter gets the first crack at a response, and he channels Jeremiah and the psalmist by admonishing Jesus to just steer clear of deceitful, evil men and avoid hypocrites as they had. That Jesus will have nothing to do with that suggestion should not surprise us. He was, after all, the man who said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners, and those who are well have no need of a physician." If cynicism fits hand in glove with politics, as they say, then realism fits hand in glove with being a follower of Christ. Avoiding God's plan earns Peter a dandy of a rebuke. Jesus all but calls him Satan. Following Jesus is not about finding your cause or your cross and carrying it, because Peter is not averse to sacrifice. But those kinds of crosses, the sort that Peter had in mind, the self-styled ones, that is, they more or less just keep you crucified. You have to keep at them all the time and never let up. You have to fight, 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 as the politicians like to tell us they will do on our behalf. You have to strain, 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 as the psalmist tells us to do. Following Jesus is coming under His cross, losing yourself in its shadow. Jesus' speech is glaringly frank, yet astonishingly hope-filled. Jesus' speech promises rewards, that is true, but not in the way elected officials speak of them. In defense of our public officials, their task is not and should not be to reward some citizens at the expense of others, but serve the common good of all. Jesus promises reward for those who lose their interests and their interest in anything but the cross of their salvation. Rewarding each one according to what they have done might be fine if we were all Jeremiah or the very earnest writer of Psalm 26, but we're not. We are all in need of physicians. Our reward is precisely not for what we've done, but in whom we've believed and press on in faith despite the things we've done. We as citizens of this nation and simultaneously citizens of the kingdom of God have a job to do. Government of the people means that we, the governed, are responsible for whom we elect. If we too infrequently vote self-sacrifice and too often self-interest, our government will pursue individual instead of common good. But you, Christian citizen, are to vote in a way peculiar to your creed. When you vote, you must listen earnestly and humbly and trustingly to the one who approved this message and lent his character to it, because he authored it. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose their soul? When you vote, you must listen to Christ, who calls for love to be genuine across age, race, class, and stage of life. You must listen to Christ, who didn't chase honor but gave it away. You must listen to Christ, who was patient when blessing eluded him. To lack some personal comfort or benefit is not, as many suggest today, a sign of God's disfavor. Listen, dear Christian, to Christ, the messenger who seeks what is noble for all. Listen for Christ, who did not avenge on a whim but gave room and time for the judgment of God, and never shrank from the hard task of turning enemies into friends by feeding, clothing, and caring for them. Bishop Alan Vigneron of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Oakland once wrote the following: "As faithful citizens, we Christians are called to bring our laws into conformity with what we know of the nature of God. If we fail, our way of life will become countercultural, always a difficult situation for Christians, one that the Lord himself predicted for us, however. But even if our efforts meet with success, our work is far from done, for we would still be living in a society where many accept a set of convictions that is ultimately detrimental to the integrity of human life. Your mission will then be, as it always has been, to be a light and leaven for the new creation established in Christ. In other words, true winners do not concern themselves with what they might somehow gain, because in Jesus, they have something they can never lose. Amen.
Profess the faith of the Church with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Holy Father, mercifully continue to purify and defend your Church. Since she cannot stand firmly without your power and wisdom, govern her by your grace. Bless our Bishop Dan and all pastors that they would faithfully and humbly participate in the work of shepherding your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, Father, for the good work of Opportunity International that gives people hope, both spiritually and materially. And thank you for using us to share in your mission around the world. Bless their efforts, encourage their staff, and increase their outreach for the sake of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, you have planted your holy Church in places where persecution and oppression abound. Protect those faithful ones who are yours, that they would always know your light and love, and that they would fear not in the face of evil. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Lord, your love is beyond our comprehension. Grant that we would have the same spirit of love and mercy towards others that you have towards us. Teach us to forgive for Christ's sake, even when we are tempted to hold on to grievances. Help us to work for reconciliation in our families, our church, and the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Healing, Lord, your power is made perfect in our weakness. Pour out your healing spirit on all those who are suffering this day. Give them peace in the face of trials and comfort them in their loneliness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.